from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
I think it's amusing that I just don't often remember what episode numbers are because they go up so quickly.
But nevertheless,
either we're 12 or we're 13, it doesn't matter to me. The fact of the matter is we're here, this is bonus, and that's a good thing.
I just enjoy the fact that it was the first fact, or okay, it was the third, because you said your name and that was right, and I said my name and that was right too. And then the third thing we said was the episode
now,
number,
you know,
and that was wrong. So
you know,
it's like third thing.
Let me tell you something. That's you are a jackass, sir. You are a jackass. I'm like, sure, I make a factual error somewhere along the way, and we just roll. But apparently, I have the peanut gallery.
You got to understand.
Coming
no,
around
no,
me like,
out.
Hey, I find it amusing how you started off the show with the factually correct thing. I'm like, well, thanks for the lead on. I believe that that's how we positively start a show.
Exactly.
Jackass.
You got to understand.
He's a jackass.
We've been doing these shows long enough now that, you know, it always opens up with something.
Can you get your cat to stop chewing on that fucking box while we record this? I don't know. Can we be professional? We have the equipment. Go get your fucking cat before I throw my mouse at him. He is literally this close to a beating. I'm like, I'm going to open that garage door and just kick him out. He'd be gone forever. That's the price one has to pay.
What are you talking about? You just being a psycho.
Yeah, well, that cat, you know what? That cat annoys me. That cat annoys me.
But you just can't be a psycho like that because it's weird. Like, seriously, you think your girlfriend thinks you're hot when you're like, I just want to fucking break that cat's neck in my hands? I'm like, no girl likes to hear a dude be a dick like that.
Well, you know what? The dick is part of the shtick. So, unfortunately, you just got to live with that.
You got to ride the Jake train all the way to the station.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. There's no, you can't just get off midway and say, that was a fun ride. I'm like, there's a crusty bit that comes there. And sometimes he's dark. He's a dark motherfucker.
Indeed.
That's the way I like the comedy parts of it. Okay. Let's talk. Speaking of darkness, let's talk about some of the evil, dark words that keep coming out of what is now pretty much my favorite guy, and that is Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor. Now, I wrote about him a little while ago and posted up a video of him basically going on that atheists are not fully human. Well, apparently he's not done, because as he stepped down and inducted a new archbishop, he decided that he was going to, you know, say something equally, if not more offensive, and declare that atheism is the reason why there is war and genocide, and it is the cause of all conflict, and it is the root of evil. You know, so
you know what? I'm just impressed that we beat out the gays. Typically, we fall behind the gays, but tonight we beat the gays. So congratulations, atheists! We're number one.
You know,
we're number one.
I think that it's time for a little bit of celebration, if you know what I mean. But you know what? Here's the funnier part. Like, obviously, I mean, I don't know the man's mind, so I don't know what he thinks atheism it really is. But I thought it might be fun if we postulated, just for a moment, what does this man, like, let's assume that he really loves Christianity and he's not just only a psycho, but, you know, he firmly believes that we are just wicked, like just wicked people. Mm. So let's put ourselves in that mind frame for just 5 seconds here, making the assumption that he is genuinely feels that way and wants to make the world a happy-go-lucky place. What the hell does he think we do? Like, I don't know what he thinks.
It might be that whole thing about how Christians and other religiosos are all confused about how atheists have morals at all. It's like, without God, where's your moral compass? It's, people don't realize that, you know,
I can understand that for sure. And people have the sort of moral compass argument all the time. But, I mean, that doesn't, if a person lacks a moral compass, you're not going to automatically assume that they're evil unless you think that human beings are by nature evil. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden, well, obviously if there was no God, we would just be ripping our heads off and just stabbing each other and drinking each other's blood. That's what human nature is all about here. And I'm like, whoa, that's my thing. You know, from their mentality, they must really think that human beings without God are some kind of crazy, you know, murderous psychos that they've, you know, heard about in their wacky stories that they take literally, you know what I mean? Yep. Like they have a very simplistic idea of what human nature really is like. And I find that kind of both amusing and frightening at the same time, how a person could have such a childish interpretation of reality and at the same time be a pillar of society. You know, we get advice. People ask this man advice.
Well, you know, we actually, I often wonder how insulated we become in our ridiculous little house of happiness here. Working all of our projects. So, I mean, I can imagine a guy who probably... Doesn't he live in Vatican City? Tell me he lives in Vatican City.
Well, no, I don't know. Probably. he's in Ireland, so I assume he doesn't travel back and forth. I assume he lives in Ireland. Mm. I'm going to make that assumption.
Okay. Well, I mean, these guys here, they don't get on the internet much. They don't get too much opinion.
No, they're on the internet a lot. Where else do you get kiddie porn? Oh, Batum!
That's a nice one. Nice one.
Bishop of the Zam Zam.
So I could definitely see how these guys get out of the loop to that point.
Well,
it's a serious common problem. When you want to talk about your ignorant masses, this guy just represents. I mean, we see it all the time. You remember that chick just a couple weeks ago in politics? She told some Asian guy that he needs to change his name because they have a hard time saying them. It's just these cases where people who should be intelligent turn out to be complete ignorant dumbasses.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a startling trend because obviously we're getting to see more people.
I think we see it more because, look like my buddy Galen had a good analogy. He said, basically, look at all the schools out there and the people coming out of it have really no skills. Like they're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for degrees. But they can't do anything coming out of school. So essentially, you've paid a lot of money to have an idiot, an idiot that has great rote memorization skills.
Well-educated
idiot. Now, with that, let's just sort of twist things around when it comes to say, men like Cardinal O'Connor and say, instead of believing in God and the Bible, instead what they really believed in was Santa Claus. And they were very serious about trying to understand the myth and the mythology of Santa and its representation in modern society. What does Santa mean to people like you and me? Now, let's say they go to school, they devote their entire lives to this Santa myth. And they go around giving sermons on Santa. They talk about Santa. They have debates on Santa. Now, would you go to that man and ask him, Father, a man who's only known Santaism and has never touched a woman of his life, excuse me, Cardinal, I'm having problems with my marriage. Could you help me out here? What would Santa do? It's a very sophisticated form of make-believe. So it's not exactly going to make some highly educated individuals. So when somebody starts spewing nonsense like this man, why are we surprised? I mean, he went on to say, and this is my segue here. He went on to say that, he was praising some of the clergy that had to have courage in the face of the Irish Reform School scandal. You know, he was like, well, you know, I just want to put it out there to those other... I mean, like, you're putting it out there to the child molesters who are feeling the pressure from the commission that found that there was wanton abuse in these Irish reform schools going on since the 1950s. And it's just like, bam, you know, 900-page report laying it out. And this man is saying, well, courage on to those people who get caught, which would be all great and fine in his view, but no names have been released, even of the dead offenders. So whose courage is he praising? Who, I ask you?
You know, I don't have to ask why the police aren't forcing stuff like this to come out, because it is Ireland and they are pretty damn religious. So.
Yeah. Well, that, you know what? Speaking of pretty damn religious, I was actually reading some of their articles on, like, you know, the Irish Times, mm-hmm. right? I guess it's the Irish Times. It's just Times Online, but, you know, it was just, it's in Ireland. So it's green on the thing. It says Times Online, and online is green, so I'm guessing it's Ireland. Anyways.
Well, does it have an IE or whatever the dot thing is at the end of the URL?
Yeah, it's a .co.uk or something.
So. Oh, then that's not the real Ireland then.
Okay, well, whatever. Let's say the religious side. It's a religious-sounding newspaper.
Okay, gotcha.
Because the article itself goes and says, well, the Catholic Church is living with one foot in hell. Now, you know, over there, that's probably a very damning, like, holy moly, guys, you're just one step away from burning in hell forever. I'm like, and this is what I find is funny about that kind of perspective, because, you know, even with everything that they've done, and it just keeps piling up. I mean, this is just recently, you know, like this Irish reform thing has just recently come out, and it's just another taste of the molestation that is going on everywhere. Do you think they're done? Do you think that they're done, say, with, you know, some of those churches or reform schools in, say, Indonesia? What the fuck do you think goes on in Indonesia with Catholic men? Huh? That shit's not done. The Catholic Church is not done being shown and being outed for molestation and all kinds of crazy shit. And still, only one foot in hell? How many? How many raped kids really does it take? This is what I want to know. This is what I want to ask the one who wrote this. Her name is Libby Purves, or I don't know.
Well, I mean, you're
great. Great write-up, by the way. Great write-up. But one foot in hell? No, it's both. It's really both.
I'm just like, you know, she bagged him pretty good. So, you know, don't just be like, well, you didn't quite take both nuts out.
No, but it's really not just the question to her, but the question to everyone in Ireland.
And everybody in general.
It's just everyone in general. Yeah, exactly.
Goes.
Like, come on, seriously, guys. How much of this are you willing to take before you say, that's it, that is it, dissolved? No more. We've had it. You know, we're going to figure something out, but we're just going to dissolve you.
What other options are there, really? How would you see that all coming about? Because, you know how, like, the Mormons kind of got
behind...
They
already
have
their answer,
though.
You know
how the Mormons got behind banning gay marriage, right? It was the Mormons, right?
Yeah, it was the Mormons.
So imagine if the atheists got involved in dissolving the Catholic Church. It's just like, yeah, shove.
Well, you know what they need to
so
do?
So if we can help them along,
look,
I would love to know
how that would
work.
It's simple. It's very simple. What you have to do first is that you have to basically take back or offer them this sort of like alternative. Number one, they either allow all of their priests to marry... and divide the assets of the church, because that's the problem with the Catholic Church is that it is, since the fourth century, they have had celibacy for one reason, so that when men died, they wouldn't pass on their wealth to their sons. It would remain in the church.
Oh, is that for real? Why
that
they
is
did
for
it?
Real.
How do you know that? That's crazy.
Well, because I read that.
Man, you got to blog about that. People who want to know
more,
come to
this. I already did blog about that. You just don't read my blog,
though. Just hook the link up. I would love to read that. I'm sure the listeners would, too.
All right. Well, I mean, it's in one of my other articles. If you read the site, I mean, I do post some of these things up, you know. Every once in a while, the gems are spread out. But anyways.
Are you punishing us?
I'm not punishing you. I'm just... Sometimes, you know, like these conversations. Like, I don't always think of everything that's going on in my brain. I don't understand where this...
It's all good.
Anyways, the point that I was trying to make is that the Catholic Church is so powerful because, you know, like, think about it. Since the 4th century, it's been amassing wealth, all right? I mean, it is a giant, very wealthy institution.
Scientology looks at it and drools.
Oh, well, they must. I mean, the Pope eats on gold plates for a reason, you know? For a reason. Now, imagine they're also tax exempt. I mean, drool, drool, drool. I can't say enough, but that is in essence kind of like a pretty twisted thing about an organization, if you think about it. I mean, that's pretty irresponsible. Like, do you think that any institution should have that much money? Like, that doesn't seem right to me at all. And they knew, the Catholic Church knows that there is a problem when you force men to be celibate. Like, their own internal research shows that roughly 10% of the of their members will resort to some form of child abuse if they're forced into celibacy. And the best explanation that I've read from psychoanalysts and psychologists is basically that when a person is stuck in a permanent infancy, sexual infancy, then that's who they're attracted to. So if you have the sexual development of a child, but yet are still an adult, you'll be attracted to children.
And imagine that, because, you know, we like to think that everybody's dirty and thinking about sex all the time, because basically we are people who masturbate on a very regular basis. So it's like we're always, you get in your mind that whole sex act all the time. If you're not doing that, if you're not working out your perv muscles, you are stuck in that puny adolescent wimpling stage where you're just not developed at all.
Well, the relationships can't be healthy. Like, for instance, children will often have kind of like their own form of sexuality, touching, kissing, those kinds of things. And a lot of parents freak out about that, but they really shouldn't, because it's just it's a natural part of early sexual exploration that goes on.
Oh boy, is this where we're going? Are we fucking putting the kayak into these dangerous waters?
I'm saying that from child to child, in terms of their relationship, they will be doing mild experimentations. They're bound to. The problem is whenever an adult is involved, you understand that, like, that is not the same type of deal at all.
Power dynamic has changed.
The power dynamic is very changed. And it's the most damaging thing about it, and I think that this is something that most people don't really realize, is the fact that what damages them the most is their ability to trust other human beings. You know, when a child stops being able to trust adults from an early age due to sexual assault, how is that going to change their entire lives? Like, how is that going to make them capable of forming regular relationships with other human beings? I mean, how we manage trust with children is sort of like the most important thing, because they have to learn how to trust, like to what degree they should trust individuals. And unfortunately, for the most part, you can trust most people, but it's those pieces of shit, those ones that molest fucking people, that really screw things up for everybody, don't they?
So do you actually, because I've always wondered about that, I've always looked at the whole Catholic Church thing as there's something inherently about the system that attracts pedophiles. And I didn't think that it was along the lines of these guys actually go into it being quite serious about, everything and not being total just fraudsters sneaking in to pedo the kids up.
Well, there could be both working as forces. I mean, like, let's not forget that even though, of all the claims that have been made of sexual abuse, how many of them may have been repressed? How many of them are, people that haven't come forward? How many people really have been molested at some point by a member of the Catholic Church? I want to know these statistics. I bet you they are so gigantic that it would blow your fucking mind. Like, you could just not even fathom. Like, you would ask yourself, how can we have a functioning society when they have been so systematically abused? And you're like, that's a testament to sort of like human beings, despite all kinds of horrificness coming from some of their really scary and powerful institutions, they can still be good people. Despite them, I'm like, congratulations, religion, A1. You really nailed it. You scored.
Well, when you talk about the numbers, it's when you hear the stories about priests being moved around, this person has been molesting, we caught them molesting, okay, move them around, and molesting again, move them again, and it's, you hear these stories and you kind of start to realize it's going to be a lot more. It's not going to be less. It's not going to be, this is just, we've caught it all.
Yeah, well,
it is not. We've caught it all. This study, you know, the studies might tell us a bit more of a fuller picture, but I still think they're probably underestimating the amount.
It's not just that. It's kind of like, imagine the frightening fact is that, you know, a certain percentage of kids that are molested become molesters themselves. It's like almost like one of those horrible, like a horrible virus. You know what I mean?
Altar boys become priests.
Ooh. Oh, my God. It's just an awful, awful cycle. And, you know, I can't even imagine just how rampant, just how horribly rampant it must really be.
Anyways,
it scares me.
Let's stop speculating on such grim things.
Yeah, that's grim. That's some grim shit. Okay, let's move on, actually. Speaking of some stupidity now.
Oh, is it fun stupidity? Or?
It is quite hilarious.
Oh, I just wanted to comment. For the people that go onto the site, and just for me, I would like to say thanks for the Jesus dog butt photo. I appreciated that grossness. I'm amazed you posted it. I'm like, that's a dog's anus.
Well, you know,
and then to say, no, look closer.
Look, look, you know, closer. What? You had Jesus to. You there. Have to look at it.
I know.
It
I
needs
know.
To be seen.
I know.
So, you know what? If you are listening to the away. Show, you need to go on the site because actually, yeah, let's, we're going to just quickly mention it. There is a picture of a dog's butt that apparently looks exactly like Jesus. Now, I was skeptical at first as to the degree of similarity, but I must confess it is one of the best sort of like appearances ever, and it's on a dog's ass. So, you know what? Like, I don't know what the significance of that. I just enjoy how there was a site that was devoted to this dog so that you would go on and just see it for yourself and testify, I guess, as to the power of the Lord. That's the site that I took that from, a website that devoted to the dog because
wow.
It's a holy dog. So it's not like a joke photo they took it and be like, ha ha, and they post up and someone picked it up and said, wow, that is Jesus. No, it's them seeing the dog's butt in the morning light and then saying like, holy moly, it's Jesus.
Yeah, it wasn't just a miraculous random picture of the dog's ass,
no.
Basically.
It was them really scrutinizing. They probably had to clean that sucker too because, you know, it looked finally trimmed back there.
It's a total hoax, man. They were just like, hey, I was staring at the dog's ass because I'm hooked on meth and I realized that his anus is shaped like Jesus's face, so I combed his ass hair.
I'm pretty sure because their whole eating family breakfast and the dog sort of pointing its tail up and showing its butt, I don't buy it. I'm pretty sure that you live in a bachelor apartment and you fuck that dog all the time.
I want some of those.
You dog
I
fucker. Want, you I, make me sick.
I want some of the drugs those people were on, those crazy religious people.
Okay, but that's not the thing I wanted to talk about. But again, if you listen to the show, do yourself a favor. Go see that. It will make your day. It will make your day.
Don't go see that.
I highly recommend it. Do it. Okay, the one thing I wanted to talk about, actually, is a... remember those advice columns like back in the old days?
Yeah,
you had the
like
Ann Landers. And there was the other one.
The one I read now is Pardon the Interruption.
No, but what were the two big ones? Because this is actually an interesting story. There was Ann Landers, and there was... What was the other one? Ask Ann or something like that. Do you remember what these were?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
Ann Landers had some other chick who went with all the trashy, because you had the two newspapers in every city. You had the reputable one and then the trashy one with the bikini girl on page 7. And the trashy one had the shitty one and the nice one had fucking Ann Landers because, you don't go off.
Well, the whole rivalry thing was actually they were twin sisters that had different columns. And so
really?
I'm trying to remember the second one, but it's just drawing a blank. Anyways, so... They have daughters, and their daughters take over their racket, and they have their own advice column. And Ann Landers' daughter, who now has her own, basically got a letter asking her what to do about this situation. I'm going to read it out because it's just too good. The entire thing's too good.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Our daughter started college a year ago, and we've noticed during her visits home that she's not the sweet, innocent girl we sent away for higher learning. We raised her with strong Christian beliefs, but lately she's saying that she's joined an atheist club on campus and is questioning everything we taught her. Now my husband refuses to let her in the house and is threatening to turn her into the FBI. I've tried to cure our daughter and reconcile with her, but nothing seems to work. I've prayed over her at night while she sleeps, enlisted friends in a phone prayer tree, and even spoke to my priest about the possibility of an exorcism. I'm at my wit's end. How can I recover my daughter and keep her from hell? Signed, God-fearing. Now,
you know, this is just one of those things that, of course, at the beginning, we have to put a big asterisk next to it. I'm just like, it smells a little bit off, but, you know, religious whack jobs, you can't tell.
Well, that's the whole Poe's Law thing where you can't really tell the difference. So if you can't, then it might as well have
be
come
an
out
accurate
of their
depiction of what's basically going on with these people. With
pretty
people.
Much. Pretty much. I mean, it gets into some serious, almost postmodern rhetoric with these people. You know what I mean? It's its own language. I mean, you can just utilize it against itself.
Let me tell you what, though. If it's going to come from a segment of the population, it's the segment that would write a letter to Ann Landers' daughter. So just to put that out there, these are crazy fucking people.
Yep.
It's like right below them are the people who go for, like, mystery glory hole sex in bathrooms off Craigslist.
They do that in Craigslist?
Yeah, that's what
glory
they do.
Hole
yeah,
bathroom.
Yeah. Go to San Francisco Craigslist into the casual encounters section or something like that, and they'll just have, here's the address, like the bathroom in the Eaton Center on the third floor. Be there for blowjobs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Now you know. Learning is education.
You know, I just used Craigslist to buy, you know, an iPod once. And a couch.
Yeah, our couch came off Craigslist, and that chick, she knew too. She thought we were like rapists or something.
You do look like a rapist, especially with these new glasses you got on.
Yeah, I broke my glasses, so I'm actually wearing the glasses that I got in grade 9.
He looks like Harry Potter.
Yeah, they were John Lennon signature
a balding
lenses.
Harry Potter's like, oh, Harry, you've let yourself go, Harry. Look at you. You were supposed to be the chazzy one, but now you're the chubby one.
Aw. I don't even get Hermione either. I get, who's that other? Ginny Weasley? It's so sad.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, well,
maybe she gets hot. You know, they got magic. They can't, you know, sort of like get bigger breasts through magic.
Watch out. We try to limit our episodes to one subtle reference to pedophilia at a time, okay?
All right.
Let's not get into the Potter kids.
Okay, let's go back to the letter.
Okay.
Yep. Now, I have to really wonder, let's assume that this is true rather than this is just sort of like some hoax. We'll assume that it's true now, that there is someone out there that actually thinks that you can call the FBI when your daughter becomes an atheist is delicious. I mean, it still makes me laugh. It fills me with giddiness to hear such stupidity. I don't know. There is something delicious about it.
You got to understand. I mean, people are generally idiots. I mean, how many times have we heard stories about people dialing 911 because they're idiots? It's like, why are you phoning? Because I'm a fucking moron.
No, you're phoning like, I didn't get all my chicken wings. Why are you calling over chicken wings, ma'am?
Oh, I tell you, half those offbeat stories are all explained by, and there were drugs found in this person's system. But, you know, the other half are genuine stupidity, man. Genuine stupidity.
It's sad when drugs aren't involved, and it's stupid. I mean, you almost wish. You weep for the human race. You're like, please, let this be because of drugs and irresponsibility.
But I would just like to point out, hilariously enough, that you know, you had a really good, poignant counter. You answered her question in your of Ann Landers' daughter. But I actually think Ann Landers' daughter got the bitch slapped down better than you, man.
Well, yeah, but mine was more intended to be funny at the same time. Hers was sort of like more like, what is wrong with you? She's her own person. And I'm like, yeah, of course she says that. What, am I going to echo it? So that it, no, I got to say something different.
Yeah, I'm all good with that. I'm just saying that, yeah, she got the smack down. I was impressed by that because I was actually interested in seeing what she had to say, and I was pretty impressed at the very...
I don't even understand how you could say that her SmackDown was better. I literally told her that she had sent her child to higher learning, and that is what she could expect. I told her that if she wanted her daughter to remain a Christian, that she should have made sure that she was as ignorant as possible because of the correlation between ignorance and religiosity. I don't know how my bitch slap could have been more complete.
You do make a pretty good case, actually.
I think you were just surprised that a mainstream person would come down and say, what is wrong with you? But I tore her a new anus from all angles. You know what I mean? I went medieval on her.
I'll agree with you, and then I will correct and say I'm just impressed that, such a mainstream person would take such a like even keel on basically saying, you know, even if she's rejecting your shit, you can't do that. And God knows, we've talked about it before with, say, Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or other groups. It's just so many families torn apart
over
this kind of stuff.
When your belief is inflexible, you know, when it cannot adapt to new circumstances. I mean, like if a family has a specific belief, let's say they have a belief on homosexuality, then, you know, the odds are they'll have a member of their family that is one, and they'll all of a sudden that's going to create a gigantic amount of conflict because they can't deal with that, you know, reality, with that natural fact that there will be some portion of the population that will be homosexual, and you don't need to worry about them. They'll find each other, all right? You don't need to, you know, feed them or clothe them. They're fine. They just have different sexuality than you. So don't freak out and panic, and everything will be just fine.
They're not all the ones on Craigslist. Those that is not an accurate depiction of the gay
population.
Exactly.
Well, let's just say that there's always going to be a certain segment that's going to, you know, represent you to some degree, but it doesn't mean that that's going to be everybody. You know, like if there's a strong segment of the population that engages in, you know, like promiscuous sex, then unfortunately you're going to have a hard time fighting that stereotype.
Man, we've fallen into this well pretty deep. I don't think we can go any deeper into this one.
You're like, oh my God, are you talking about like promiscuity among the homosexual population?
No, I'm just like, you know, it's an atheist podcast in general, like accoutrement of other things. You know, we go down some paths, but let's not turn this into a let's discuss all of our homosexual feelings things. We'll save that one for the pay show.
This is the pay show.
Well, we'll save it for the more expensive pay show.
Well, I don't know which pay show you're talking about, but you let me know about the plans for the super show, and you know, we're going to try to invent a new day of the week where we can fit that in. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you want to do another super show? I don't know. Let's work on this one.
Okay.
So far. Okay, but back to the woman and her atheist daughter. I think it's kind of interesting that this is not something that is very, that people are accustomed to, but they're going to need to start becoming more acclimatized to it, because you look at the percentage of young people that call themselves atheist, and compared to the population, say roughly 20% of the adult population would claim to be agnostic or atheist. About 38% of the youth population would describe themselves as atheist. So in one more generation, all of a sudden you have another 15% jump. Now, do you think that trend will continue? I would argue that, yeah, that's a probably pretty strong trend.
I don't know. There's a good segment of teenagers that don't care enough about it, that they'll just deceive themselves into thinking they're religious. But if you push them, you know, you'll break their faith pretty easy. They'll be pissed off, but yeah, you can do it.
Yeah, but you know, so, what? Here's the thing.
But in general, like, these people, and no one's going to do it, you know? No one's, so...
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. I'm talking from the perspective that a person who no longer accept the fact that there is, you know, a God, and that there is no sort of like distinct moral code that a person has to obey in order to make it into heaven and avoid the punishment of hell, then basically now you are forced as an individual, just naturally as a consequence, to try to figure out where you're going to develop your own morality. Now, I believe in the majority of people that, you know, abandon faith, there is quite a bit of conflict that comes with that, because now you have to think about it a lot. And while you believed in religion, in honest truth, your moral development was held back into, you know, like towards that of a child. I mean, you have a childlike perception of morality. You're like Big Daddy, Big Sky Daddy, make sure that everybody acts fine. I mean, that is just that. What a childish interpretation. And I think because of that, you know, once we abandon kind of that crutch, then individuals themselves will feel more, you know, like the impulse to study the question of morality, and they're going to find plenty of answers. You're going to be introduced to a lot of different, you know, ideas and interpretations, and I think that actually what happens as a consequence, once we get exposed to so much different information or we're saturated by it, we can sometimes become overwhelmed and try to rely on our natural instinct instead to give us information, because there's a bit of an information overload. And I think in that circumstance, we'll find that human beings will behave more fairly and adequately if they obey their, you know, their intuition about how to act, rather than just trying to obey things like kind of like in a code, you know, like your codes will interfere with your natural ethical development. If you say, well, every person that commits murder has to go to jail, you're going to be forced to also break the code that says, I need to protect, you know, good people, because sometimes good people murder others. They have to kill others. It happens. And that's why we would use our intuition to kind of bridge that gap, the gap where the gray zone, moral gray zone comes in.
And we actually see that all the time in the Muslim world where, you know, women who are being raped kill an attacker or, you know, injure an attacker and get sentenced to lashings.
Well, I mean, many of them get sentenced to death. I mean, if the man dies, odds are she's going to die.
Yeah.
There's very few examples of women who survive those kinds of things. But you know, there's no moral, I mean, in the Middle East, for instance, there really is no gray zone. They have these codes. So these codes are going to be very simple, but they run contrary to how human beings would naturally respond to this, because, you know, human beings are inherently compassionate individuals. And I mean, if you want an example of that, just go to some random village, broke as hell, and beg people, and you will probably you'll have enough to live. People will give you enough to live, even if, you know, they themselves have barely enough. Like, there's a lot of human generosity that happens in the world of the poor. We just don't witness it because we're rich and greedy. But in general, the poor are a lot better at sharing than we are.
And people generally give off a lot of hospitality, you know?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, even though you could have, say, two nations at war, it really isn't the majority of the population. It's the war itself. It's just their armies. And the people themselves, I mean, like, they don't want to do war. Who wants to do war? Yeah, very few.
Don't believe the hype about the Russians, the Chinese,
the Iranians, yeah, especially
the Iranians.
Yeah. I mean, like, you go visit Tehran. Do yourself a favor there. Before you bomb it, visit it. Do yourself that favor.
Because let me tell you what, the only people that really hate America right now, generally, like as far as the people go, Afghanistan and Iraq. Wonder why.
There'll be more hate. But the one thing that I wanted to talk about, at least in terms of sort of childish developments in terms of morality, is just this we have a backwards idea in our society that we need religion in order to be able to advance ethically and morally, and I would argue that that's not true. That's actually completely false, because we assume that let's take Christianity at its most rational, at its most educated, at its most refined, right? And they will have great moral lessons. I'm not going to deny it. You know, like, you'll find a lot of great, you know, sort of like theological works on why people should be good and stuff like that. And there's a tremendous amount of work. But at the same time, it's not being disseminated in the population by those kinds of individuals. It's being interpreted by some dude who went to, you know, Catholic school or and learned how to become a priest, and then just decided, well, this is my interpretation. Well, let's go with mine. And that's what people are understanding. That's how it information disseminates. So it's not the creme de la creme that you're getting. It's just pretty much the bare bones, what anyone could pick up if they open the book and just read it. And do you really think that such a simplistic tome that dates back from the Bronze Age and further is really going to give you the types of tools that you need to be an ethical and moral person in the 21st century? Do you actually really believe that? I mean, that is naive. That is very naive. So I think that what we'll see in the generations that come is the fact that it will become a trend, because I think in general, you will find it very difficult, you as an atheist, to not give your children a broader scope of education on religious matters. And typically the broader scopes make people very suspicious of, you know, religious claims, specifically because they've had the broader view. It's difficult to believe in anyone when you've seen it all, isn't it? I mean, when all had equal merit at some point, you're just like, well, they're all equally crummy. Mm. But, you know, that's my prediction. I can't, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But it seems to me the next generation that's coming in really is considerably, you know, more atheistic, and that's just going to be the trend. So that's the new kind of conversation that we're witnessing. You know, that's the new thing coming out of parents' mouths. What do I do about my atheist child?
What I'm liking about it is that, atheist or not, when push comes to shove, the kids are always siding against the church, basically, and against any of the ridiculous things that the religious groups are pushing.
Right. Well, they can't. I mean, a person may have a nostalgia about, you know, the kind of the church as an institution because they've grown around the rituals and so on and so forth. But a person who has access to all kinds of other types of rituals, you know, like MTV or, you know, sort of concerts and that kind of stuff, they will have a different kind of value towards, you know, those religious rituals. And it's going to be, you know, severely diminished from what it was before. And people aren't going to really care as much. I mean, so many rituals have a habit of just disappearing because people are no longer interested in doing them. I mean, there are still very few religions that practice, you know, sacrificing of animals, because it's just really gross. You know, it's really, really gross. It's a lot easier to drink wine and eat a little piece of bread than it is to douse something in blood. Isn't it?
That would make every Sunday very unpleasant, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh my God! I mean, there's a long tradition. I mean, even in the three monotheistic religions. I mean, it used to be back in the old day, you would be sacrificing a lot of animals, typically birds. I don't know why the Jews like to sacrifice a lot of birds, but there's a lot of dead birds. Mm. But yeah, that whole process is messy, and for the most part, that's been abandoned. You want to go back to that? I mean, no. You know, lots of rituals are going to go away, and that's the whole thing. I mean, as the rituals go away, it becomes streamlined, it becomes open, and it then becomes no longer the property of one specific institution or organization, and then it just vanishes. Because there is no, say, Zoroastrianist church that's trying to reclaim Zoroastrianism, is there? Well, maybe if there is, but they're probably very pathetic.
I don't even know what Zoroastrianism. Yeah.
Zoroastrianism predates Christianity and Judaism, and it was the main religions of the Persians. And it was kind of like they believed that the God and the devil were equal forces, and that it was basically their fight. Well, like we were witness to their struggle, and no one could really get the upper hand. So it's a far more like a Dungeons and Dragons kind of exciting world of god power clashings. You know, a disaster would just be kind of like, yeah, that these the forces of evil and the forces of good clashing, boom, earthquake, tons of people dead. So you can see why that would be popular explanation to why shit happens for a while. And it was the popular religion among the day. But then all of a sudden, the institution just crumbles. You know, the Persian Empire is defeated. The institution that, you know, crumbles. People don't follow it anymore. New religion comes along. Nobody wants to claim it anymore. And it just becomes one of those things that you talk about, but no one believes.
Would you classify it as a less naive religion?
No, but you know what's awesome? They had a god called Mazda. You like that, Mazda?
It's not too shabby. I think I've heard that around.
they make also very cheap cars.
So in a kind of way, the Zoroastrians are still around.
Yeah, well, they well,
past
you know what
America.
They're around in the fact that they probably influenced, you know, Judaism a great deal and stuff like that. I mean, people are gonna borrow on your theme when you're the big religion. You mm-hmm. know, they're gonna just take some of your shit and they're gonna change it. I mean, we see that all the time. All the time, a new religion popping up. They took some of this one thing's shit and they made a new one. Hello, Mormonism. Let's take the Bible. Let's write a new Bible.
Or let's just do something completely insane like the Scientologists and somehow it will stick.
Or, yeah, well, somehow. You know, it turns out that it doesn't have to be the same old tired myths. You can start your own new ones.
Your own retarded myths about
They don't even have to make sense, man.
These bomber planes.
People will believe anything.
Hail
as long
Zenu.
As it is as long as it is drilled into them and they are forced to believe that it is true, then they'll believe it is true. I mean, if you were forced to believe that there were three lights when in fact there were four under penalty of torture, you will see three lights, okay? That's how it is. Your brain's going to be like, stop seeing conflicting images, pain ensues, there are three lights. And I'm sure all you Star Trek fans are going to enjoy that. All right, I think with that we should wrap up the show. Anyways, we're going to be back for Friday so that... you know, for the non-paying members, so we'd just like to remind everybody how grateful we are for your patronage.
And hopefully you enjoy the show, and as usual, feedback is always appreciated.
Yeah, don't hesitate to send us your questions or comments or just ideas for the show. We always love to hear from you guys, and, you know, you can start a dialogue, because for the most part, we just toss our radio out there. We don't really have that much feedback from you guys. That's what the website is for. That's what the email's for. So, hey, talk to us too, you know. We'd love to hear from you.